And good evening and welcome into Sports Talk on a Friday. I'm Scott Beatty along with Matt Daniels from the News Gazette. We've got you for most of this hour. And then Dave Lone will have you for Illinois baseball as they get ready for Rutgers, a Big Ten series. Pretty key one, actually, as both teams are in third place in the conference. Illini at 6-3 and 20-8 overall and looking to get at least one in under the dry skies, at least for now. So we've got you till then. Good to see you, Matt Daniels.
Good to see you too, Scott. Summer's here.
Yeah, officially, and especially in this building in spots, but we continue to have HVAC wackiness all over the place.
I don't think anymore in East Central Illinois we go from the four seasons. We just go from summer to winter and winter to summer.
Spring happened yesterday.
Yes.
And that's it. And now we're here. But we are glad to have you no matter the season. Let's get a look at some of the sports headlines and then we will dive into today's activities. Baseball: Cubs lose their second in a row. They fall to the Braves 4-0. Preston Tucker had a 3-run home run for Atlanta and the Braves spoil the debut at home for Yu Darvish. Cardinals are in action tonight against the lowly Reds. Cardinals can be back at 500 with their second straight win in Cincinnati. Reds are just 2-10. It is Luke Weaver on the hill. The White Sox rained out in Minnesota, and it's iffy whether they'll get any more games in this weekend as they're expecting about a foot of snow up in the Twin Cities. I guess it's summer somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Spring somewhere.
And that's the disadvantages of playing in Minneapolis outdoors, I guess.
Yeah, so that series is in jeopardy for right now. As we told you, Illinois baseball coming up in a little while. Illinois softball rained out today as well up in Madison, Wisconsin. That was actually the finale of a three-game series up there for Tyra Perry's squad. And the Illini dropped the doubleheader yesterday, so they will not have any more Big Ten action this weekend, which is unusual. Their next game is at home on Wednesday, a game you'll hear on DWS with yours truly. It's the opener of a doubleheader against Wisconsin Green Bay.
They haven't had any luck going north.
No, because they went up to
Minneapolis a couple weeks ago and got
shut out, I think, back-to-back.
And then their third game got postponed, so that's two Big Ten games they're not going to get in this year.
The lineup has been really active and then really quiet. They just haven't done a lot of in-between. And pitching continues to be a little bit up and down as well for Illinois softball. They're trying to get back to the NCAA for the third straight season. All right, the buzz in the NFL today. Dez Bryant released by the Dallas Cowboys. They are looking there apparently for some payroll relief as they give up on the $70 million five-year contract after leading the NFL in touchdown receptions back in 2014. Jerry Jones says it wasn't an easy decision, but it's what he believes is in the best interest of the organization.
Maybe he just didn't want to open his wallet up anymore to Dez Bryant. But, yeah, it's intriguing just because he was such a focal point of their offense for such a long time. And now whoever he lands with, I'm sure he'll land with a team. I'm sure he'll have lots of interest. At least the NFL has redefined their catch rule, so Dez Bryant can now make a catch.
So I heard somebody say, another media host say, look, he may not be the top five receiver anymore in the NFL, but don't you think he's one of the top 32 in the NFL?
Yes.
And he can still catch things that nobody else can do.
I think that just goes to show you, too, how quickly NFL careers can peak and then just bottom out at the same time. Not to say he's done, he's reached his peak by any means, but in today's climate, it just seems that they're trying to get the best bang for their buck, and we'll see if, I'm sure, it's not like Jerry Jones is lacking for money.
By the way, have you seen pictures of the ballpark they're going to try and build next to Jerry Jones Stadium down there?
You mean the new Rangers Stadium that was just built in like the mid-90s that they're
they're going to get rid of that. Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
Well, this thing, I mean, every new stadium looks incredible, but there's no bad stadium left in Major League Baseball, I would say. I think some people are not high on that stadium, but except for like Oakland and Tampa Bay, I mean, everything that's getting put up now everywhere is pretty good.
Yeah, I remember when I was down in Dallas around Christmas 2014 when Illinois football was down there for the Heart of Dallas Bowl. I was in hanging around the day after the game and drove over to Arlington just to check it out and saw Jerry's World and saw Globe Life Park, which is, I didn't realize was right down the street. But the most interesting aspect to me of that entire rendezvous over there was that right across the street from AT&T Stadium, which is massive, by the way, it's huge, there's a Walmart. Caught me off guard.
The Dallas Stars coach and former St. Louis Blues coach Ken Hitchcock is retiring after a 22-year career. He's the third winningest coach in NHL history. He'll become a consultant for the Stars as he led them to their only Stanley Cup championship in 1999. 66 years old, he says it's the right time to step away and let the younger generation of coaches take over.
Yeah, he had some success with the Blues and then kind of parted ways with them last season and been around the game a long time. I'm not going to say I'm a hockey expert by any means, but I do remember him guiding Brett Hull and the Dallas Stars to that Stanley Cup in the late 90s.
Coming up, we will talk with Chad Benedict. He is now the outgoing coach, high school basketball coach for Mohammed Seymour Boys Basketball. But he is going to weigh in on the proposal to add the shot clock to high school basketball. And the reason I wanted to ask him is a couple of reasons. One, he's no longer going to be coaching, so he's a little bit more neutral on the subject now. Two, I think Mohammed Seymour is a good example of a team that could probably kind of play both ways in terms of a slower game or a faster game, and they see both kinds of opponents.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a program that fits in a lot of this. So we're going to get his thoughts on that. Later on, Bob Osmussen will check in with The World According to Bob Osmussen. A little bit of time for you to weigh in as well here on a Sports Talk. 356-9397 is our number, and the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Bob is in Champaign. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Hey, I've got a question, and this is such an old sports story, but I just never heard the why. Why did the Big Ten push their tournament up a week? And in retrospect, did they think it was a good decision to do that?
Let me start with the last question. No, it was not a good idea. They pushed it up because they wanted to get into Madison Square Garden, and the only way they could do that was by having it a week earlier. You're talking about the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, right?
Yes, yes.
Yep. And,
yeah,
and
there was another tournament the following weekend, so I guess that makes sense. But, boy, the Big Ten wasn't even a topic of discussion right leading up to the selection show, and usually we're the last tournament there.
Bingo. I agree. I think only Bob Delaney thought it was a good idea.
Jim Delaney, excuse me.
I think he was talking to Bob.
So.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bob. I think he was the only one that thought it was a good idea. I mean, they wanted the profile of playing in Madison Square Garden and all that, but I never came across anybody that thought it was a good idea. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Thank you.
Truncated or squished together the Big Ten schedule, which was
cumbersome
on a lot of teams.
Jim Delaney addressed it with Chicago Tribune right before the Big Ten tournament that it was probably a mistake to have such a compact schedule.
But I told you it would be.
Exactly. I think at some point they're going to try to go back east because that's obviously a part of the country that the Big Ten has staked claim to. They have offices now in New York City. They've had them there for a few years. And watching the games just felt a little weird being at Madison Square Garden. And I know that as the tournament picked up, it seemed the atmosphere got a little bit better. But then again, it's, well, do you want to play in Madison Square Garden or do you want to lose the chance to have your tournament leading up to Selection Sunday at all? And who knows if the Big Ten tournament was a week later, if Nebraska would have gotten in or if Penn State would have gotten in. You're not sure what effect
the recency bias.
Exactly. You're not sure what effect that would have had on the selection committee. But the next 4 years, it's returning to its Midwest roots with I believe it's in Chicago next year, then Indy, then Chicago, then Indy. And if I flip-flopped it, it's in Indy next year, then Chicago.
Drivable from here.
Oh, yes. Very drivable. And especially from a lot of other schools now. Schools like Nebraska and Rutgers and Maryland kind of get left out in the cold when it comes to
the
Big Ten tournament basketball tournament being played in Chicago or Indianapolis. But for a lot of other fans, that's you get up early in the morning and drive 3-4 hours and you're there. And for Illinois fans, it's great because drive to Indy's hour and a half, hour 45, and then Chicago's a couple hours at most.
Speaking of the Big Ten footprint, there was panic amongst the Twitter sphere yesterday as reports were surfacing that Comcast Cable was going to drop the Big Ten network entirely. Now, it turns out they were just dropping the Big Ten network in out-of-market areas. So if it's a state that doesn't really have a Big Ten school that they're in, they were dropping it. They have dropped it. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't think it's good.
It's not good for the Big Ten.
No, I don't think so at all, because it's you know, it's going to be 11 years old now once the 2018-19 school year gets going and they start televising football. But you look at the Big Ten and all the universities, and you hear this all the time about the University of Illinois, is how many alumni they have scattered throughout the not only the country but throughout the world. And you take away you know, the ability for fans to watch them on TV. Now, obviously, a lot has changed in viewing habits, and streaming's become a huge thing. And but you've got Illinois fans. I'm sure you have Illinois fans in every state in the country that, you know. Yeah. And with Illinois being on BTN so much,
you have huge alumni bases. Illinois is very big. Michigan is very mm-hmm. big. Ohio State's is very big. I it's a bit of a head scratcher. But maybe Comcast is realizing the way of the cut the cord, and yeah. I don't know what's behind it all. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you can just listen here at all the games.
It's true. Just listen here on DWS.
You turn down the sound on the TV, watch on and listen to the radio while you watch the picture. But it's some of these other regional networks. Like, we don't get the Pac-12.
No.
And that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You got the SEC network now, and
yeah, depending on your level of package.
Yeah, exactly. It's all dependent on what you are willing to pay.
All right. What about a high school shot clock? We'll get to that subject in a moment with Chad Benedict. We'll throw that around. Bob Osmussen checking in too in a little bit, and then Illinois baseball here on this Friday.
It's Illinois and Rutgers tonight, Fighting Illini baseball. Dave Lone has the play-by-play as the Illini host the Scarlet Knights. First pitch at 6, right here on DWS tonight.
degrees, 5:25. It's Sports Talk. Scott Beatty, Matt Daniels with you. Coming perhaps as soon as the 2019-2020 high school basketball season, you could see a shot clock. At least at the varsity level, Kurt Gibson talking about that today from the Illinois High School Association. Here to help us think this one through is Chad Benedict. Now, well, sad to say, from our perspective, the former coach at Muhammad Seymour, but I guess good for you because you're entering a new phase of life. So before we go any further, Chad, want to extend congratulations to you as you take on a new role at Muhammad Seymour.
Thank you, and it's an honor to be on. I thought maybe my days of talking basketball with the media might be over, and we're not even a week out, and I get another opportunity to do it. So
lucky you. well, hey, the reason I wanted to talk to you about this is because I feel like the history of Muhammad Seymour and the types of schools you've played faster-paced teams here in town in Champaign-Urbana. You played in the old Corn Belt. You've played schools that really slow things down. So you've seen both aspects, I think, of the game, and maybe you've tried to do both depending on your team, I would imagine. So what's your initial reaction to hearing about a possible shot clock in high school basketball?
You know, for me, there's two perspectives on it. And the first one is, and I don't know how many people have thought of this, but, you know, it's not like our state and our schools in a real great financial state. And, you know, to ask these high schools to go and, you know, install these shot clocks, find people to pay somebody to run them and do them and things like that, I think that presents a little bit of a challenge for some districts that are strapped financially. I mean, certainly putting in shot clocks is not going to, you know, break the bank, so to speak, but it's another added expense that maybe we could put towards the classroom and things that are maybe a little bit more important than a high school basketball game. From a basketball standpoint, I think there's certainly pros and cons. Neil Alexander and I, the head coach at Lincoln, were having a conversation, and you know, for teams that play really good defense, I think it's going to benefit the teams that play good defense more, because sometimes you see these games where, you know, and we've run into this a couple times depending on what our team looked like, where, you know, teams will take a minute and a half off of a possession or 2 minutes off of a possession because not necessarily because they're stalling, but because you do guard well. And so, you might be better off if you've got a great defensive team with that shot clock out there, because it's a less period of time that you have to, guard. Now the offensive side of it, that's always the challenge. Matt Daniels sitting there played for a legend within the state and Mike Waldo at Edwards.
You don't have to tout my credentials up, Chad. It's fine.
but they played, certainly ball control was the name of Coach Waldo's game at a lot of times in his career. And, there's when you have less talent, sometimes if you slow things down, it does increase the chances of winning. And so, from a purist standpoint, I think that's still the purity of the game at the high school level and in Illinois is you see some of those things going on from some of the different coaches within the state, and some of those coaches are able to keep maybe some less talented team in games because they can formulate a style of play that fits their talent.
We're talking with Chad Benedict. He is a now former high school basketball coach for Mohammed Seymour, but getting his thoughts on adding a shot clock to boys basketball.
And Chad, your background too, you coach at Chrisman, a small school over there in Edgar County, but do you think this is going to affect maybe small school basketball where there's not just a rush or a influx of guys that are going to go play in college later on, or do you think it can hinder? I mean, it's such a huge potential change to the game. It's going to affect every school no matter what. But what do you see maybe for like the small school area teams at all?
Yeah, I think some of the things that will change is I think there'll be a lot of bad shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because, until coaches have a chance to figure out what they want their system to look like or how they're going to use this to their advantage a little bit, I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think from a defensive standpoint at some of the smaller schools, you can identify one or two players, and if you've only got to guard them for 45 seconds and force, somebody else to take a shot, I think you might see more scoring going on, but mm-hmm. I might argue if you do your homework and do it right, you can take away those scoring options a lot easier, and force other people to score because it's less time and, what you've got to guard. So, it would be interesting to see, that's just my guess and at least how I would approach it, in that situation. Where you if you're going to play a Westville, so to speak, mm-hmm, or yeah. It's got one or two really good players, well, we can certainly identify those, or anybody, mm-hmm. not just Westville. I just use that as an example, yeah. But I don't want Coach Millis to get mad at me.
he's known for his sideline demeanor in the past.
Yeah. But you could identify those guys and take those away and then trust on your other guys to do their job. And I'm not sure but I get why they want to do it. I understand why there's the push to have that happen.
I read in the Belleville News Democrat about a poll of coaches or a vote, and it was a vote by one, 222 to 221 against adding the shot clock. So have you found a similar divide around area coaches if you guys have talked about it at all?
It probably all depends on the talent they got coming back. What do they want?
I imagine the teams with a lot of AAU guys and a faster-paced team, they're probably like, yeah, that's fine if you have more guys that are trying to play at the next level, right?
Yeah. We played Wheaton Warrensville South this year in the State Farm Classic over in Bloomington, and there was one possession where they made 39 passes.
Wow.
And that's the style of play that they have to play in order to be competitive, up in their neck of the woods and mm-hmm. the teams that they run into. And I think sometimes we're patient on offense and then we run into that. And, I think it's relative to what you want to do. From a coaching standpoint, I think there's a lot of guys that are purists out there. I like myself that mm-hmm. enjoy, the idea of building a team and trying to get kids to buy into roles and do things and not be forced into situations. If you think about it, I think, if you're going to be disciplined and teach kids discipline about life and have, the sports cliches carry over into their life, speeding things up is not always necessarily the best thing. And so slowing down and learning to make good decisions and analyze things is a positive that can carry over. And so, but then one's going to make the argument that you've got to make plays under pressure too, and the shot clock's certainly going to, you know, bring that in.
Chad, obviously you don't have to coach against these teams anymore now that you've stepped aside at Mohammed Seymour. Would say that you were having to play a team like Lincoln, that's, you know, traditionally a very strong, stingy defensive team. I know they played Springfield-Lanphier in the regional title game this year, and Lanphier won 33-19. And then, mm-hmm. you know, 3 days later, you'd have to turn around and play a team like Champaign Central from this year that was, you know, led by Tim Finke, who's going to Grand Canyon and had a bunch of athletes. How would you go about trying to prepare for two contrasting styles with a shot clock added into the mix at all?
Well, I think in all honesty, I mean, you know, you see that now, and I'm not sure here's the thing about Lincoln's defense. If you throw a shot clock into the mix, it's going to be even harder to score.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be patient against, I think, those good defensive teams and try to crack them. And that's one of the things Coach Alexander and I were talking about is, you know, he feels like his defense is going to get better with a shot clock because of the, you know, it's going to force teams to have to make play. And if you can, you know, if you can identify good players and hold and everybody do their job, you know, you can force some, you know, perimeter shots from the outside. You know, if you look at it from the collegiate level and the success, I know Virginia may not be the best example given this year's NCAA tournament, but certainly their success that they've had with the type of player that they've recruited here over a period of time, you know, they kind of play that way where they kind of guard and contain, force you to beat from the outside. And I think, you know, teams similar to Muhammad or teams similar to Lincoln, when you go up against those kids that are more athletic than you, mm-hmm. You know, a shot clock may actually, you know, and shot clock may work to your favor, mm-hmm. but really if you were to time a lot of those possessions, they're probably under, you know, 45 or 30 seconds anyhow,
yeah.
You know, a majority of the time. Your prep for that, back to your question, it would be interesting because you just have such a contrasting style of play. And I think, you know, that's been part of Lincoln's success is they're just so different in how you have to prep for them. The shot clock, I think, is going to make it even harder in all honesty. Mm-hmm. Now, the question would be then is, you know, as far as like Lincoln or even some things we've tried to do offensively is where you neutralize athletes by, you know, if they want to chase, you know, you spread them out and make mm-hmm. them chase, right?
Yeah.
You know, with that shot clock, all of a sudden that's going to change some things on yeah. the offensive end.
Exactly. Hey, Chad, for a guy that gave up coaching a week ago, you sound pretty sharp.
Oh, like, well, luckily I've had a lot of good people tell me what I need to do.
Well, good. Hey, we appreciate your time, and maybe we'll do it again from time to time.
Hey, I love talking high school hoops, and I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate all the coverage you give our local kid. Trust me, it doesn't go unnoticed because I do hear about it from, you know, from our people over here and other people around. So appreciate everything all you guys do for kids.
All right, likewise, and congrats.
Thanks, Chad. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys. You as well.
All right, that's Chad Benedict. Mentioning that team that they played where they had 39 passes in one possession, that's not basketball.
Yeah.
That's playing keep away.
I'll go back to when I was growing up. I went to a class AA when they had two classes.
One room schoolhouse.
No, and sectional semifinal at SIUE. It was a packed house, about 5,000 people, and Edwardsville played Alton. And Alton wanted to come out with a triangle and two defense on Edwardsville's two best players. So Edwardsville won the tip, gave it to their point guard, and he stood at half court with the ball for the entire first quarter. In front of a sold-out college venue atmosphere, tried to get Alton to draw out, and they wouldn't budge. So there was one shot in the first quarter. The first quarter ended 0-0. That game ended up going six overtimes. It was a classic game, but that always sticks in my head.
Doesn't seem like basketball to me.
But that, to me, is part of the strategy, at least at high school basketball. I'm not a fan of a shot clock coming to high school basketball. I think what Chad Benedict brought up at the first point with the expense and getting people to,
mm-hmm.
You know, being able to train them and everything like that. I mean,
you got to be on your toes. You got to, yeah. That's probably the hardest gig there at the scorer's table, doing that shot clock right. And yes. How many times when something goes wrong with the shot clock.
And it's not like they're
going to have. It happens at Division I level, and you're just sort of like, okay.
And,
it,
and
your
it's
eyes.
Not like I wouldn't think this would come with it at the high school level, at least, that you're going to have a TV monitor right there, and the refs can go over and review it and make sure the time's right. It's going to be all based on the clock, on the scoreboard operator. That's a lot of pressure to put on someone that is just kind of maybe volunteering or getting paid $20-$30 a game.
I want to step aside for a moment to let you know about somebody that will do a job right the first time, the right way, and that's Swanson Roofing. Corey Swanson owns and operates Swanson Roofing. They're previously a small business of the year. Now, we've been telling you for a while that they bring really high-quality materials they're putting on the roof, and they will guarantee those for 50 years. But you know what? Frankly, a lot of other roofing companies or companies that will do a roof bring those kinds of materials. So what stands out for Swanson Roofing? It's the work they do for you. They aren't cutting corners, they're not doing slipshod work, and they're doing it with a team of employees of Swanson Roofing. Those are folks you're going to see again. Maybe you'll run into them at a ball game or in the store or something. They are also putting a guarantee on their workmanship for the lifetime of your roof. They're certified roofing professionals. Many of them have been with the company for many years. I know you want to get an estimate. That's free, 217-355-ROOF, or you can visit them online at theroofingdog.com. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels here. It is Sports Talk. We're giving way for Illinois baseball in a little bit, but Bob Osmussen has made his way here into studio for The World According to Bob Osmussen. And Bob, you like a shot clock in high school basketball?
Absolutely. Of course. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Here are two old-school pure guys, Bob and Matt, and yet you disagree.
No, he's so wrong.
I'm not
I understand the expense thing. That's my only problem with but otherwise, yeah, you have to have it.
I don't think
we've got controversy churning here.
I don't think
it's driving the show.
I really don't think you do. I think it's fine the way it is.
Yeah, right.
If you want to fall asleep during the games, it's fine.
No, I don't. You look at all – you go out to any high school game in our area, and you're going to see teams score 60, 70, 80, 90 points a night in a 32-minute game.
Let's speed them up anyway.
I think you're going to see more. You're going to see poorly played basketball if you have a shot clock in high school basketball. That's just my opinion. Especially if it's a 35.
Yeah, I think for a majority of teams.
I think you could make the argument if it's a 60-second shot clock or a 45-second shot clock back when they brought a shot clock into college basketball in the early 90s, it was 45 seconds. But I mean, you look at college today, it's a 30-second shot clock and you still have low-scoring games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it automatically just makes every game 90 to 88.
The potential is there, though. 30-second shot clock of high schools.
Couple of the other rules they're looking at is resetting fouls after quarters, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like what the women's game has done, and I wish that the men's game would do the same. Go to quarters, reset the fouls. So they're going to move it to 6 fouls, actually gets you to the 1-1.
I think you could ask the casual sports fan if women's college basketball had quarters, and a lot of people wouldn't know they have quarters.
Well, around here.
UConn, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think
Tennessee, they know.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that women's college basketball is quarters.
But would you be, if you were dropped in here and didn't know anything about college basketball, I mean, every other level of basketball plays quarters. You'd be like, well, why is college doing halves? I don't know. That's just why we do it. What's the point of half?
There's no reason.
Or at least reset the fouls after 10 minutes. That's my thing.
Quarters is a great. It gives you three potential end of the buzzer type situations. So I would do it.
If they want to get their 5 media breaks in, fine. But reset the fouls after 10 minutes.
No.
No.
No. I like quarters. Switch to quarters. Every other level of basketball uses quarters. Why is college basketball different?
All right, Bob. Spring football has about wrapped up for everybody, right?
Not quite. There's few schools that still have spring games going on.
A couple of spring games that were washed out this weekend. Or
correct.
Colded out. I just made up that verb.
Northwestern, I believe. Michigan State.
Yeah. Did Wisconsin get
theirs?
Wisconsin.
Right, and Ohio State's had to adjust theirs based on potential weather tomorrow in Columbus.
But so Minnesota had theirs last night.
They did.
Apparently went over pretty well.
What have you gleaned from the rest of the Big Ten?
Well, everybody's going to be better. I mean, it's crazy to say that, but there's a high level of Big Ten football going to be.
Is that because every coach says it's going to be better?
No. I think I see improvement. Remember, this league wins 7-1 in the bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams that didn't go to bowls are going to be better. Nebraska's going to be better. Minnesota's going to be better.
Oh, Nebraska's going to be way better.
Well, they're not going to be a lot better. Look at their schedule. Their schedule is brutal. They're going to be. They're going to have a hard time.
It doesn't mean more wins.
Three or four games, but a year or two from down the road, they're going to be good. Minnesota's going to be improved. Indiana's going to be improved. So I think the Big Ten.
So every Big Ten team's going to win a lot of games.
Correct. Well,
so
not
what,
all.
What happens when they play each other then?
Well, they'll beat each other, but I'm saying out of conference, the Big Ten's going to have a great year.
Three non-conference games they get?
Yes, I will. I think the Big Ten will win almost 90% of those games.
Does that mean a Big Ten team makes the playoff?
Oh, yeah, okay. For sure. Didn't happen last year.
No.
Should have.
Well, who do you take out?
That's a tough call.
Because Alabama won the
probably
national title.
Probably the national championship.
I set you up there, Bob. I'm
sorry. That's a tough one. Obviously, the other three are all quality teams. Maybe nine-side Oklahoma.
This is the time you just make an 8-team playoff. See, I'm against shot clocks in high school basketball. I'm all for an 8-team college football playoff.
Well, that does make any sense then.
Just like you cheer for the Braves and whoever else you cheer for.
There's no rules.
Okay, you just...
But the rule, I would say, is, 18 playoff is a great idea. I think they'll stop there, but that's coming soon. We're way off track.
And like I said, I don't know. We started with spring football in the Big Ten.
I think we started with shot clocks.
Shot clocks.
Well, that's true. That's where we started with. But an 18 playoff, I will reiterate again, one winner, one entrant per power conference,
no,
three more at large.
No. I'm sorry, no and no. You need the 8 best teams playing. Does the NCAA tournament have the best teams generally? I guess there are some.
There's some good teams that don't make it.
Right, that's unfortunate. But they get the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
They probably get the top 30 for sure. College football, the best 8 teams, I don't care what. If you have 4 teams in the Big Ten that deserve to be in there, put them in there.
So
please.
Then do you keep the bowl system the way it is then?
Who cares? I mean, I love the bowls. I watch every one of them. But I don't think that's not relevant. The most important thing is get them all in there.
All right, Bob. The World According to Bob Ospison. What are you watching this weekend?
There's nothing to watch. Baseball,
you can go see Illinois golf.
I'll do that.
If the weather holds tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll go over there.
Stone Creek.
Sure.
10 a.m.
How often do you get to go see Illinois golf in person?
It's every decade.
Should take advantage. It's free.
Once a decade.
10 a.m. All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it. Thanks to Bob Ospison. Matt Daniels, thanks to you as well.
Thank you, Scott.
Sunday in the paper?
Bob will take a look at Big Ten football, and Scott Ritchie answers 8 pressing questions for Illinois. You can find out about their uniforms and much more for the next season.
And Chad Benedict, thanks to him as well. We're back at it for Sports Talk tomorrow morning with Michael and Lauren. Illinois baseball against Rutgers in just a moment with Dave and Jeff. This is News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, News Gazette Media Station.